This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. Please open your King James Bible to the beautiful book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 1, where we left off last time. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 1. Excuse me. Before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on April 1st, which is a Sunday at 5 p.m., for a beautiful presentation to celebrate Christ our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. We're calling it the Cross, the Blood, and the Heart. Scott's going to do one of his supernatural picture shows, and I am going to teach from the Bible line by line what was going on with Jesus on the cross, what was happening with him, and you'll find it interesting. And we're going to have communion Sunday, April 1st, 5 p.m. You are all welcome. You're all invited. Come every Sunday, 5 p.m. for the Word and then prayer. Come on Wednesday night, 6 p.m. for the Word. I'm teaching another book of the Bible then, and warrior prayer. That's some really hot, fervent prayer there. And every Thursday, I open the door from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Scott meets me here, and we pray for the sick and we pray for the dead. A few dead people have come back alive, and a few sick people have been healed. Okay. And now the beautiful book of Psalm, most beautiful love song. This is what is called a metaphor. While we have four main characters in this play, one of those characters is you. See if you can find yourself. You don't want to be but one of these characters, but you might be in a negative character, so you want to check yourself. Our most important character is the Shulamite girl, but it has no gender. This represents, here at the end time, these things are for the end of time in the Bible, Paul says, are the elect men and women chosen before the foundation of the earth who will not be deceived by the soon coming Antichrist. So anytime I say the Shulamite, even though the story, she's a girl, it can be men or women, the many-membered body of Christ who would be the elect. So I hope that all of you will be that. Now, they're the daughters of Jerusalem. That will be the Christians who are deceived. They're going to actually go to the Antichrist. He's a deceiver and think that he is the Savior. They're going to be deceived. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24 that half of the body of Christ will be deceived. They have the oil in their lamp. You don't want to be there. And after you've heard this, maybe you won't. The wonderful shepherd is the Lord Jesus, and King Solomon is the Antichrist. He's an imitator, and he comes before Jesus, and he says he is Christ. Now, last week, the beautiful Shulamite girl is now separated from the shepherd boy. He said he had to go away. Jesus says, I must needs go away, but I will come again. And so she has to go to Solomon's palace. The Antichrist is going to call the elect before him, not to cut our heads off, but to woo us and make us think that he is Jesus, because he's going to do so many beautiful things just like Jesus would. And while she's there in the palace, the Shulamite has told the daughters of Jerusalem, those who already married King Solomon, those already deceived by the Antichrist, how wonderful her shepherd boy is. And we ended last week with her saying, and this is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Now we begin with chapter 6, verse 1. The daughters of Jerusalem speak. Remember, it's a play, and I'll tell you who's speaking. They speak.
Scripture, Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 1. Whither is thy well-beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee?
You notice they said, O fairest among women. They had heard him early in chapter 4 tell us he was the most beautiful creature. See, Jesus thinks that the elect are gorgeous. He doesn't care about your skin. You're not skin. He doesn't care about your physical body. That's not you. If your heart is beautiful, you are gorgeous to him. And that's what he meant. And they heard him say that. Elect, mine elect here at the end, you who are serving me, you who are not deceived, you who are winning souls, you who are sowing the word of God like a rich pomegranate seed. You so beautiful to me, fairest among 10,000, he said. So they said, well, if he loves you so much, why is he not with you? Now, she's got to answer that. Remember, Jesus says, I must needs go away. We know Jesus had to go away. He's sitting at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us, while he gives disciples and apostles and gives us a mandate to take the gospel to the whole wide world and teach everything that he taught to the world. In other words, Jesus is building his church, so he had to have that time. How is she going to answer this?
That's true. My beloved is gone down into the garden to the bed of spices, to feed in the garden, and to gather lilies.
Anytime you have the lilies, that means the elect, and it means that the elect have the anointing, which means the glory of God's on them. What she's saying is he had to go away to allow the church to be built and cultivated, and the Christians to learn how to win souls and bear fruit and be a part of the building program. Did all of you know you're in construction? And we're all under construction.
Verse 3, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine.
Well, just want to make a statement. No matter what you think, I know who I am. I'm my beloved is mine. And we will know this even when the Antichrist is here, that Jesus is on the way.
He feedeth among the lilies.
The Lord Jesus actually gets food for himself in seeing, looking down and seeing you who are the elect serving him and winning souls and loving him with all your heart and living a pure and holy and joyous life, blessing him and blessing others.
Four, thou art beautiful, O my love.
Now, in verse 4, King Solomon speaks, and he's going to speak for quite a few verses here. He's a type of Antichrist. Revelation 13 says the Antichrist is so powerful, he'll come in the clouds. Revelation 12, Michael's going to kick him out. He's a devil with his Jesus costume on. The whole world will go after him. He's an imitator. God is a creator, and the devil is an imitator. Now, you're going to notice that what King Solomon says to her to win the Shulamite are almost the same words the shepherd, wonderful shepherd boy, said to her in chapter 4. He copycatted. He can't think of anything himself, so he eavesdropped. He had it. He was listening, and he wrote it down. And it's not the real thing. See, Jesus is coming back, and Jesus will say, peace, be still, and peace will be on earth. But when Antichrist, he's coming and saying, peace, see? Imitation. He's even coming before Jesus and say, I am Christ. I am Messiah. I am the Savior. See, imitator. So he's going to try to imitate the wonderful shepherd's letter. In other words, if she liked that letter so much when the shepherd boy was telling her how beautiful she was and wonderful, wonder what she's going to do if she likes his letter.
As Kazar, as comely as Jerusalem.
Beautiful as Jerusalem.
Terrible as an army with banners.
Terrible is a terrible translation. It means awe-inspiring or awesome. Now, first of all, only King Solomon, he got his words mixed up, but he didn't copy that one right. See, he's an earthly king. To him and to earthly people, what is powerful is power. That's what Washington, D.C. is most apart. The swamp there, everybody wants the power. So King Solomon says, I've got all these armies and these soldiers riding these beautiful horses and they've got their flags raising. And he said, oh, that's the most beautiful thing. He's speaking of an earthly army. Jesus says to you, when the enemy comes in like a flood, been flooded lately with trouble, it says, and this is the Bible, this is the truth, this is for you, then God lifts up a banner. It says standard, but standard means banner. Amen. What is your banner? The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over this illness, over this condition, over this sickness, over this lack, over this sorrow, over this mess.
Amen.
Wow, what a banner, what a banner. Hallelujah, what a power. The blood will never lose its power.
Five, turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me.
Boy, is he narcissistic. Satan is that way. And Have you ever seen two people in love? I've been there. And you just look at each other's eyes and you just get lost in that. It's really wonderful. If you've never been in love, I feel sorry for you. But it's wonderful. But see, she's not looking back at him. He's just wishing that she was looking at him like he's looking at her.
That hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead.
Boy, he got that one right. He listened really good when he was eavesdropping. That was exactly what the shepherd boy said about the little baby kids jumping and leaping on the mountain, their mane blowing in the wind. So he copied the shepherd boy's compliment about her hair.
Verse 6, thy teeth are as a flock of sheep that go up from the washing, whereof every one beareth twins, and there is not one barren among them.
In chapter 4, the shepherd boy, wonderful shepherd, said the same thing, have beautiful teeth. Now, Jesus says, you elect at the end, I'm going to make you elect men and women, you Shulamites, I'm going to make you to be a threshing machine having teeth. You use a great big threshing machine to go and separate the wheat from the chaff, to separate the lies from the truth, having teeth. The word of God in your mouth dispels the lies and lets the truth shine. You're a threshing machine having teeth, none missing, none broken.
Verse 7, as a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy loins.
Now, King Solomon doesn't know what that meant. The shepherd boy said that the pomegranate is the fertility plant, and the shepherd boy had told her that for the elect, we have in our mind of God, and the word of God is so fertile, there's so many seeds like a pomegranate, that every time we sow a seed of the word of God, it produces. Please understand that Jesus is the vine and you are the branch. If you abide in the vine, Jesus says you will bring forth fruit. You can't help it. See, the little branch doesn't even know, but all of a sudden it says, good Lord, there's a grape there. See, if you abide in the vine, you're going to have to bring forth fruit. It wouldn't be the labor. You do labor. You do say, Lord, where would you have me? I'll go where you want me to go. But it becomes a natural process. People are drawn to you, and it kind of flows. The people you're supposed to talk to, the right telephone call, the right person. You automatically do bear fruit. So if you're not bearing fruit, you might not be abiding in the vine. You might be a dead branch and have snipped it. Be careful there. Get back to the word. Get back to the blood.
Verse 8, there are 80 queens and 80 concubines, and virgins without number.
King Solomon says to her, now remember Revelation 13 says the whole world is going to worship the Antichrist. He'll say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper, pay your mortgage. I mean, he's going to be a great religious Christian revival in the church, except they'd be worshiping the wrong Jesus. King Solomon says, I've got 60 wives. I've got 80 concubines. That's a second wife. I don't think I want to be that. And plus, I got all the virgins lined up here. Where do you get those virgins? Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says there were 10 virgins, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. 10 represents the whole body of Christ. We're supposed to stay virginal and wait for the true Christ to not fall off to the Antichrist, not worship him. But half of them are going to fall off to the Antichrist, and they're just lined up to go to the Antichrist because he's going to pay your mortgage and give you some goodies. So he says, I've got all of this, but I want you. It isn't that he loves her. The devil is narcissistic. He just can't stand for anybody not to love him.
Verse 9, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her.
Now, in the natural storyline, the Shulamite girl is the daughter of a mother who is widowed. The widowed mother has some sons, but no more daughters. So, of course, she loves her daughter very much. What does it mean for you? The elect are the children of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mother Israel, Revelation 12. From Mother Israel, that lineage, came the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ chooses out of that lineage his elect. In other words, we are, the elect are, the only daughter of Mother Israel left, because all the rest of the world will go after the Antichrist.
The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens of the concubine, and they praised her.
When the elect are delivered up to the Antichrist, the whole world will hear what we say. The Holy Spirit is going to speak through you. Jesus says, don't premeditate that. Don't study that one. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Those same concubines, those same daughters of Jerusalem that have been deceived, are going to hear you, elect. And some of them, because they really do love Jesus, they're in all the churches around here. They've just been taught the wrong chronological order of event, and they haven't studied Revelation. They haven't studied the depth. And when they hear an elect speak, whatever the Holy Spirit speak, some of them are going to say, wait, tell us more. Because it does say in Revelation, some will run away from the Antichrist because of your testimony, because of the Holy Spirit speaking through you.
Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun?
King Solomon is still trying to sweet talk her. What he's saying is, he says, everybody else is so chaotic. The world is insane. But you're so clear. You have such peace about you. Listen to me, Christian. To live a life of chaos is something wrong. I don't mean things don't happen to you. Things happen to us, the elect. You'd be surprised. You would not believe what I go through in one day. And they knock you down. But even when it's something that goes on for a long period of time, you still don't live in chaos. You shake yourself off and you remember your God. And you go right there the best you can with what you have, where you are for Jesus' sake today. If there's chaos continually, there's something that needs to be dealt with in the spiritual realm, and that's not yours. Yours is peace. Be still.
And terrible as an army with banners.
Uh-oh, there he goes again. I bet he lost his notes and he couldn't think what to say.
Verse 11.
Now she's going to answer him, all right. She's been listening because she had to listen. Now, would an elect buy this? Would you be deceived by that? He's going to sweet talk you. And he'll say, look, we're having revival. I really am Jesus. Look, I can bring lightning from heaven. I can pay your mortgage. I could make you the pastor of that big church over there during this time. I mean, you could really be somebody on television or radio. I could do that for you. After all, you're so good and you love Jesus so much. You love me so much. I know you don't realize that. So, okay. So, now, will she believe that? Will you believe that? It's a test. It's just a test.
I went down into the garden of nuts.
She says, I've been listening to you. And I'll tell you something, sir. This world is a garden of nuts.
To see the fruits of the valley.
Fruitcakes.
To see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranate budded.
She says, I have searched this life, and I wanted to see. I have found that the world is insane. Did you know that everybody who's lost is insane? They're not in their right mind. That's really true. They really are not in their right mind. And she says, I've looked around to see if I can find anyone who's lifting up the vine, Jesus, who's sowing the pomegranate, the word of God. And she's saying, basically, what you're telling me is fruits and nuts. It's phony. I want nothing to do with your unreal world.
12. Forever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Engedi.
She knows he won't understand this, and yet he will, because he represents the devil who was in the first earth age. She's saying, before I was aware, before I even became a baby in my mother's womb, you put this in me. You put this mission, this assignment in me. You told me then and you sent me to the earth, says the elect. He sent you to the earth on a mission. It's not about your job or your car or your dog or your family. It's you, and what you're going to do with the vine and what you're going to do with the pomegranate seed. She says, I had this. This, I was called before the foundation of the earth. All the elect are.
13.
Now, this 13th verse, we're going to have three different speakers. First of all, will be the daughters of Jerusalem.
Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee.
So the daughter says, she's been speaking, the elect have been speaking by the Holy Spirit. They'll say, come back, tell us more. Wait just a minute, we just married the Antichrist. Wait a minute, come back, your elect. Let me get straightened out. Now she, the Shulamite, speaks. This will be you, delivered up.
What will you see in the Shulamite?
You would not listen to me when I was trying to talk to you. You would not come to my Bible classes or get my tapes or sit one-on-one and listen. What do you want me to do for you now? Maybe it's too late now. And now the shepherd speaks. Jesus has returned. He said, I'm coming again.
As it were, the company of two armies.
Now you say, why do you say that? Well, here's the thing. Isaiah chapter 42, Jesus says, I have been so patient. I have been holding in my fury. I have watched this world disobey and spit on me and rebel and rebel and rebel. And he says, I'm going to come for two armies when I come, and I'm going to unleash all of my anger. One is going to be the battle of Haman Gog. I'll be teaching the book of Obadiah pretty soon, which will explain about that one. And I'm going to be doing the battle of Armageddon. Two armies. And it won't take more than 5 minutes for me to do it, he says. He said, let's get it on. You know, in Romans 8:26, it says, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you with groanings, which cannot be uttered. The word groaning means like a warrior cry. Many times when the Spirit comes on me, that warrior cry comes out. I have nothing to do with it. So Jesus is coming back, a warrior, and is going to fight two armies. And he says, let's get it on. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 1.
We'll go a few verses here.
How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter.
Now the shepherd speaks. You see, he came and gave the pure word. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And then Satan sent his people to pollute the word, as King Solomon did. The false teaching, the misunderstanding, and taking away and adding to. And now Jesus is going to come back, and the word is going to be totally pure. The word will last forever. He's coming back with a cleanup of the word. So he says, how beautiful your feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The gospel armor in Ephesians chapter 6, the shoes represent that you study to yourself a preparation of the gospel of peace. So he says, I look at you, my elect, as I'm about to come. And I'm so happy how beautiful you are that you walk in the word. It's not something you go and do and just put it on a shelf. You apply it. You apply it.
The joints of thy thighs are like jewels.
Okay, Paul told us in the book of Ephesians, I just finished teaching, that the body of Christ is the many-membered body, and we are to be fitly joined together. If you're joined with me, you're a joint, and I'm a joint, and it's not a smoking one, okay? And God tells us in Malachi chapter 3 that we are like his jewels. So when he sees us working together, the body of Christ, all of us coming together, each of us taking our place and going in just this perfect time together, it's like beautiful jewels. When I make up my jewels, he says, it's beautiful how you are. Last week we had our friends Anthony and Tawny Height and their new little girl Eleanor visit us, and I was up here on the high wire with no notes and everything, and all of a sudden I realized there was some kind of commotion going down in front of me, and I saw a little white hand, little white feet, and it was Evelyn. She was so happy in here that she was running and jumping, and I got to thinking, if she had had a jewel on both hands and on both feet, that's how she would look, that's how we look to Jesus, because that was cute even with a white. But see, he looks down at us. We're marching together. We're dancing together. We're loving together. We're getting the word out together. We're singing together. And we're just a bunch of jewels. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you sapphire? Are you garnet? What are you there?
The work of thy hands of a cunning workman.
My beloved elect, I see that if you have the lowly job of cleaning the toilet, or if you're on the stage with the word of God, or if you have to haul somebody around to the store, or sweep the floor, or sing a song. Whatever you do, you give it all you've got. You prepare and you study, and you hone and refine, and you make it a masterpiece fit for the master. Amen. Be a professional Christian.
Verse 2. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor.
What am I going to do with that one? Okay, the Mid-Eastern religions, you've heard of them. They sit and stare at their navel and say, Okay, we don't do that. The navel is where God put your spirit and your soul into your mother's belly. See, you were with God, so he put that in there and put you in that navel. And then, of course, you go down into the belly. Now, what he says, you're like one, like a goblet, and you don't lack any liquor. If someone drinks a lot of liquor, they probably got a fat tummy. He says, you're very healthy looking there. What he means is, you elect, because I put your spirit and soul in you, and I chose you before the foundation of the earth. And the Spirit of God is upon you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And you don't ever have to say you don't have enough of the well of life to give someone else. I'll tell you, you can knock yourself out. You have ministered 4 hours. If someone needs to come and minister some more, that Holy Spirit will kick right in and give you some extra strength. That's what he means. The Holy Spirit never runs dry. You're never empty. You're never dry. The Holy Spirit is forever and always gushing and always gushing and always gushing with the wonderful words of life.
Amen. Thy belly, like a heap of wheat, set about with lilies.
There's those lilies again, the elect, the glory there. What he says again, the belly, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit indwelling you inside your belly there comes out of you and is like a threshing machine, and you have the teeth, and that anointing comes out through your mouth, that anointing comes out through your hands, that anointing comes out of the pores of your being and changes the atmosphere around you, and you bear much wheat. The wheat would be the children of God.
Verse 3, thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins.
We already talked about that two is better than one. Jesus sent out two by two, and there's never lack of food for anyone to go. There's always gospel enough to go around. There's always spirit enough to go around to feed God's sheep.
For thy neck is a tower of ivory.
Now, what does a neck do? The neck supports the head. But if your neck is stiff-necked, you're not doing the head much good. Maybe the head told you to turn over there, and you said no. And so you're kind of stiff-necked. For about 9 years, we've been meeting in my school every Sunday and every Wednesday, praying for America. And one of the things, of the many things that I asked, was that we would begin to hear our country and the media praying in the name of Jesus again. So recently, at the beautiful homegoing celebration of Reverend Billy Graham, it was so gorgeous. It was what a Christian's going home should be. Every one of those preachers, one after another, my prayer was answered. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. The neck supports the head. Wherever you go, you're an ambassador for Jesus. There isn't any place you go that you do not represent Jesus, and you support him. When you support someone, you talk of them, you tell, you bring attention to that. So you tell people of Jesus, you bring attention to him, to his word, and what's going on. I hope you do.
Thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon.
Well, the Lord means by this that your eyes are the eyes of a dove, the eyes of understanding. You understand God's plan. You see God's overall plan.
By the gate of Bethlehem, thy nose is at the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Thy head upon thee is like carmel, and the hair of thy head is like purple.
Carmel is like crimson, scarlet, red. Now you say, oh, the Shulamite's got red and purple hair. No, that's not what it means. The Lord says, I look at you, and I see you clothed with red blood. Your hair is full of red blood. And then I see that you're also purple. Purple is royalty. Revelation chapter 1, I have made you a king and a priest unto God and my Father. This is how I see you, my beloved. You are covered with the blood. He looks at you through rose-colored glasses, the red blood of Jesus. The blood will never lose its power.
The king is held in the galleries. Six, how fair and how pleasant art thou, O love of delights.
He says, you delight me so much. In Isaiah 42, he says, the elect are his delight. We are taught in the book of Revelation why God created us, to bring him pleasure. We're to bring him delight. And of course, he does that for us. Have you given him any delight this week? Do you make it your goal every day of your life to sit with him and talk with him and love him? We sit with our puppy dog and rub them. And sometimes the puppy dog's more important than God. So see what you can do this week about delighting the Lord. Next week we'll be able to complete the book of Song of Solomon, but right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I would like to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. I'm excited after that. That was a great word.
Thank you.
Okay, our first question. Can you define what life in the second earth age is all about?
Yes, it's a final exam. See, most of you think you were born here so you could be a great doctor or an actress or have a family or be a policeman or get a good job and get a paycheck. No. You might do all those things. We all have to do those things. No, it's a final exam. We were in the first earth age, 2 Peter 3:6. I'm going to be teaching Peter pretty soon, 5, 6, 7, 8, right in there. And there was sin came into the equation. And so you're here to see what you're going to do about that. That's your whole purpose. And so in the process of that, then sometimes you might be these other things. We need to stop teaching our children that this is our life, this little dot. This is just one little dot. We're with God, long dot. And if we're saved, we're going to be with a long line, I should say. Then we're the dot here, just a moment. And then there's a long line for eternity. Stop teaching your children that this is it. Let's build this. We got to get it now. Oh, one time around and get the house, get the car, be famous. Boom, all of a sudden it's gone. Look at the people dying, going back. And of course you might do those things. If you're going to be a teacher, you'd be the best. If you're going to be a doctor, you'd be the best. That's not why you're here. God sent you on assignment. It's his name, and it's his word, and it's his blood.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, our next question. Should Christians suffer in a different way, in a different manner than the lost ones?
They're supposed to, but I do a lot of counseling. I'm afraid most Christians, poor little me, like everybody else, we should. Because it's different for us. When we suffer, we realize that we suffer persecution for righteousness' sake, or sometimes we brought it on ourselves. But we have hope. It doesn't matter what the suffering is, we have a God, and he will deliver us, like the three boys in the fiery furnace. Our God will deliver us. And so you don't have that hopelessness about you. The truth is, I'm learning to kind of shrug it off. I'm not saying it's not a fact. I mean, I know that it's a fact. I've got my head together. But it's not the truth. And we should suffer with great joy. And I don't mean feel sorry for me. Look what a hero I am. No, let it go to God. Trust God. Believe God. And then get up and be happy.
Yeah. Paul just walked through.
Of course, I need about 6 hours to answer both of those questions. But I live those verses. And I live like that. And it makes it so much better. The Christian life is a whole different way of living and thinking than this world. David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Let's hear Scott's stuff.
Our God is a God of all heaven and earth, the celestial, the spiritual realm, and the physical, tangible realm, working, moving, preparing, and manifesting himself to us in all the realms and in all ways, celestially, spiritually, and physically. He works through dreams, visions, manifestations, releases of the Spirit, signs, wonders, and miracles. Day after day, his hand pours forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. Psalms 19, 1 through 2.
Thank you, Scott Mercer. That is so great. That's good Scott stuff.
Well,
looking forward to Scott stuff next week. Thank you very much. I'm going to pray for all of you who are sick, but first of all, let me pray for those of you who need to be saved. Let's pray this prayer and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus shed his blood for my sins.
Jesus shed his blood for my sins.
I love you, Lord Jesus.
I love you, Lord Jesus.
I accept you as Savior.
I accept you as Savior.
Fill me with the Spirit and with your word.
Fill me with your Spirit and your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To cultivate your garden.
To cultivate your garden.
Let me spread many seeds of the Word of God.
Let me spread many seeds of the Word of God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 In a few minutes, my announcer will give you my telephone number. If you got saved, please feel free to call and leave that message on my machine. Now let's pray for the sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask now, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. From the north, the south, the east, and the west, we ask, O Lord God, that you look upon those who are in pain. Let the pain stop. Jesus bore your pain. Relieve them from this distress. Where there is something out of place, I ask the hand of Jesus will go in there and very gently put that part back in place. Perfect alignment in spines, perfect alignment in toes, in bones. In Jesus' name, where bones are brittle, let them be made strong. Hips be healed in Jesus' name. Legs be healed. Diabetes, I told you to go to the abyss. You do not belong here. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, blood be purified. Circulation in Jesus' name. Right breast, left breast, be healed. Cancer be gone in Jesus' mighty name. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, with Jesus' stripes you are healed. He sent his word and healed you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The healing virtues flowing. Oh, the healing waters flowing. Now in Jesus' name, glory. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Well, if you got that healing, then please feel free to call me and tell me that too. Now don't forget, April 1st, Sunday, 5 p.m., the blood, the cross, and the heart, with Scott and myself giving you a beautiful presentation from our heart to your heart, from God's heart. And of course, Sunday is always 5 p.m., Wednesday is 6 p.m., Thursday is 12 noon to 2 p.m. Now remember, what you get is not yours to keep. You hearing it, you hearing the Shulamite story, you're supposed to give it away. So go and tell. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, and my twin friend, Scott Merson, saying we love you, God bless you, God keep you, God make his face to shine upon you, God lift up his countenance upon you, and God give you peace. And until next time, remember, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed.
He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, by his wounds we are healed.
We are healed by your sacrifice. Let the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved.
He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him.
And by his wounds, by his wounds we are and the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, by his wounds we are healed.
And by his wounds, by his wounds. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back. The darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name,
blessed be your name, when the sun's shining down on. When the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Yeah. Blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Yeah. And every blessing you pour out.
My heart will choose.
gonna say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name.
It is well with
Everybody dance, everybody sing, for joy is in this place now. Dance, dance, everybody dance, everybody sing, for joy is in this place now. Everybody dance, everybody sing, for joy is in this place now. Dance, dance, everybody dance, everybody sing, joy is in this place now. Joy is in this place now.
Filled with grief, forgive. darkness was his anthem. No feeble blow from tongue or pen could ever sway my love for him. Across the echoed hills he trod and reached into away. He was no stranger to my pain. He walked a mile in my shoes. My pain. He walked a mile in my shoes.